You may be seated. Our scripture text for today is taken from this morning's gospel, where Jesus said to his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have you been with me so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me?" So far the text. Coming home from a long time away from home is always a good feeling, but sometimes coming home is not always an enjoyable experience. For me, generally, that was around the time of parent-teacher conferences. Didn't really like to come home then. I've had many different opinions expressed to me by my teachers throughout the years. My second homiletics prof, the one who, they teach you how to preach and how to write sermons, he called me functionally illiterate. So that was, I've never forgotten that one. The good thing about that is he just said it to my face. You know, he didn't give my parents a call, you know, and fill them in. But when I'm in grade school, see, that's different. Then the parents are going to get it. And there were two ways of describing me. It's in every single one of my report cards. Number one, always has to be the center of attention. And number two, distracting. And now fourth grade, my teacher was Mrs. Lettenmeyer. I've mentioned her before. Remember I described her as she looked just like a fist with glasses and lipstick. Okay, that's Mrs. Lettenmeyer. Well, she had actually said to my face in the first term of fourth grade, she had said that I was a horrible distraction. Well, that sounded a lot worse than just a regular distraction. So when my parents jumped in the car and drove to school that evening, I climbed up in my safe space, which was the top of the pine tree in front of our house, to get a little peace. Then I saw them rolling into the driveway later, walking into the house, not looking too pleased, and I had to go into that house. I had to go into that house knowing that I was going to face a few emotions, right? One of anger and another one of frustration. The one emotion I never faced at times like that was surprise, because they were never surprised that my parent-teacher conferences went this way. Now, in our text today, Jesus has a whole lot of bad news for the disciples, and then he says, "But don't let your hearts be troubled." And it's almost as if Jesus is saying he's not surprised, right? Like he's saying, "You guys are going to blow it," okay, which is what he says in chapter 13. But then, "Let not your hearts be troubled," he's saying, "Well, and just don't get too down on yourself." That's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying is, you're going to really blow it in chapter 13, right? You're going to deny me and all these other things. Just don't forget to come home. See, I couldn't stay in the pine tree. I had to go into the house, because that's the only way I could get forgiven and the only way I could move forward with my family. That's what homes are for. In our text today, we have a foundational text, not just for the disciples after the resurrection, the rest of their lives, but for us as well. Because in this text, Jesus is telling us that we have a heavenly home. He tells us how we get there, and he tells us how we live our lives until that takes place. Now, of course, the chapter begins with, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And if you read chapter 13, you see that there's a lot of reason for them to be troubled. He says they will deny him, and they will betray him, and they will run from helping him. It's all bad news. But then he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And he gives five concrete reasons in this text why they should act that way. The first one is, he says, "In my Father's house are many rooms." And I'm really glad he didn't say, "In my Father's hotel are many rooms." Okay? When I was a kid, I loved going to the hotel. It was exciting. Now, Not so much. And they're expensive. They're not comfortable. It's not my bed. It's not my pillow, right? Who stayed here before us? I hardly ever get a really good night's sleep in a hotel. But when we come home, after 7 nights in a hotel, a week from Tuesday, then we'll know we're home, right? This is a place that is ours. This is a place that's comfortable. This is a place where I can rest. That's what home is. And what Jesus is saying is, you know, I'm not going to create for you a hotel. I'm going to create for you a home. This is your place, and I'm making a place for you in this place. The second promise he makes is he says, I go to prepare that place for you. I always wondered about that. Like, is heaven under construction or something? Right? I mean, does he actually have to go and build something onto heaven for us? Or is it just messy and he needs to clean it up? Well, I don't think heaven's messy, all right? And I'm sure it's fully built. Over the years, I've really gotten to understand that he's really not talking about preparing heaven for us. He's talking about preparing us for heaven. He's preparing it so that we can be there. That's what he did by giving his life on a cross and rising again from the dead. He forgave our sins. He made a place for us in heaven that now we are welcome, that now is ours and has our name on it. At the beginning, Jesus kind of shifts here away from talking about a place, heaven, and starts talking about a person himself. He says, believe in God, believe also in me. It's wonderful that we have heaven to look forward to. I think that's great. The older I get, the more I look forward to it. And yet, it's not here now. All of us have problems. We have problems at home, at work, all kinds of problems. It's hardly heaven. And so we kind of get like Philip, right? Or even Nathaniel. You know, show us the Father now. We could be impatient for this heavenly home. And that's where the next promise of Jesus comes in that's really important. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? As Jesus says in another passage, he says, I and the Father are one. In this text, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to the Father. No one can get to him except through Jesus. And he also is the way, the truth of the Father. When we look at Jesus in Scripture, when we read it and hear it read and study it and see the life of Jesus, see what he says, see how he acts, how he treats people, then we see the truth of God's love for us. Where God loved us enough to send his Son into this world to save us from our sin. Yes, Jesus is the way, the truth, and he's also the way to the life of the Father, which is an eternal life. Following these verses after the text, Jesus will later say he's also going to send them an advocate and a helper. Now, we, of course, know that's the Holy Spirit, that promise was kept on Pentecost. The disciples received that Holy Spirit. We all received it as well in faith. But later, it's kind of interesting, in the book of Romans, Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit, and then he shifts and starts talking about the Spirit of Christ. We not only have the Holy Spirit in us, we have the Spirit of Christ in us. And because that's a living Savior, no matter what kind of problems we face in this life, everything is going to be okay. A few days, we're going to be in Nebraska. We'll be at going to the baccalaureate service, which is the worship service before graduation and the night before. And those are always nice services, especially at Concordia Seward, because St. John's is the big church right across the street, and it's a beautiful church. And, of course, you know, when you have a church that draws on the organists, the musicians, the choirs from a university, you know, the worship services are always fantastic. And I watched one a few years back, and I wanted to hear the sermon preached by the chaplain, and I was really impressed. I don't remember a lot of sermons, okay? I don't even remember my own. I couldn't tell you what I talked about last week, but this one really stood out. I really remember it, especially since it had something to do with Martin Luther that I never heard about before, which is rare. It was a story about a time in Martin Luther's life where he was very depressed, and there were a lot of times like that in Luther's life. Except this time it was so serious that Luther's friends couldn't seem to cheer him up in any way. And so they went to Luther's pastor. Yeah, Luther had his own pastor too. And it happened to be one of his best friends, Johannes Bugenhagen. Try saying that five times fast. Johannes Bugenhagen, okay? Well, that was one of his best friends. And so he goes, okay, I'll go visit Luther. So he went to him, and he found Luther alone in a room writing, which was, he was always doing. And so he came up to Luther, and he was kind of going to put his arm around him and try to comfort him. But he looked over his shoulder, and he saw that Luther was writing, and he was writing one word over and over and over again. That word was vivid. V-I-V-I-T, which is the Latin word for he lives. So at the darkest time in Luther's life, that's what made the difference. Didn't make the darkness go away, but he knew that his Savior lived and lived in him and lived for him. And he lives for us to prepare a place in heaven with our name on it. He lives for us so that he's with us and promises that he'll always be by our side until we get there. He lives for us that even during the darkest times of our life, we know he lives, and that makes all the difference in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.